As we come to the Word of God this morning, will you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18? Luke chapter 18. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for our Savior and our God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us that name, that only name under heaven and earth whereby any can be saved. We thank you, Lord God, that you, in your kindness, have opened our eyes when we could not see, and that, Lord, you gave and took away these hearts of stone and gave us hearts of flesh by your Spirit, that we might be drawn, that we might believe and trust. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Lord God, for that Savior and all that he brings, the mediator of every eternal blessing in the heavenlies, the one through whom we can come to you, and Lord, through whom your blessings flow to us. Lord, we thank you for that Son of God who for the season of his humiliation was here and taught and instructed his disciples. And Lord God sent them out into the world to preach the gospel concerning himself. We thank you for the words of Christ that we have in the scriptures here in the Gospel of Luke. And God, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and that you would cause us to rejoice and be glad at what he says. Thank you for your word. Father, will you give us grace, each of us, as we hear it and as we receive it, and that we might walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 15 through 17, three verses in a very short passage. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, and he is approaching that city where many anticipate that he himself will be exalted as king, where he will rout the enemies. And he is on, as he nears that place, we find this account. And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter at all." What wonderful words, especially if you are a child, and that you might be able to take heart in these particular words. Maybe you might be reminded of the song, and I don't know if I will sing it, but "Red and Yellow, Black and White." They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And that might sound maybe trite, but it is a reality. And the reality of it's manifested in these verses 15 through 17 is Jesus welcomes children. And this is a very fascinating passage, and it is part, as I said, of this, the conclusion of Jesus' travel before he reaches Jerusalem, the point of his exodus and the accomplishment of his redemption. And in this account, we find this is a part of an account where we'll have several interactions of Jesus with various people. And in this one, again, we find Jesus speaking with regard to children. Because the question is, how is it that one enters into the kingdom of God? Who enters in? And how do they enter? Jesus has already given a parable that we considered last week in verses 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax man. And there we learned that only the humble will inherit, that the prideful will perish, those who trust in their own righteousness, those who themselves consider that they are good enough or who consider they have enough merit or enough morality or good intentions or sincere intentions. Those who consider their works, and basically Jesus is letting us know there is no way to enter in by anything that you do. You can't, it is not what you do, it's what another has done, Christ Jesus himself. We can't trust in ourselves, we must trust in him. And so now we come to another account. And this is the one with regard to children. And then this is a wonderful scene here, a very simple scene here. And so what I really want to do is make some observations here. And in the midst of those observations, make some simple applications. And I hope I can be simple because it's for children in one sense. It's an encouragement for children, but you understand Jesus also wants us as adults to take it to heart. That's the very application in verse 17. But I'm going to open it up this way. Notice what it says here. It says, they were bringing even their babes to him so that he might touch them. Here's my first observation. Wise and loving parents bring their children to Jesus. If you are a wise and a good parent, you will bring your children to Jesus. This is the first thing that we read here. And then somehow, and probably likely, the news came that Jesus was coming close into their neighborhood. And most likely because of the nature of his ministry and the fantastic nature of his ministry, the marvelous works and the merciful acts that he did, that the public awareness of that was great, and it was extending into most of the households of Palestine, not only in Galilee but going down to Judea. And so the parents themselves would have been noting that and noticing that, and now when the news comes that he might draw near, they begin to pick up their babes and take them to Jesus. It was a practice, a habit, a custom that we're told that oftentimes parents would take their one-year-old children to the rabbis for blessing. But here is one who appears to them, and I am sure in their own mind that this one is someone who is special. This is someone who is absolutely unique. This is one who is doing things that no one else has ever done. This is one who is speaking words of mercy and grace that no one has ever heard. And so here comes this one down into the neighborhood, and they are glad to bring their children. They want, as we're told, their Jesus to touch them. And we're really not told exactly what their intentions were or what they expected. We don't know, and all we can anticipate is maybe some blessing, some particular favor to them, hoping that even just the simple touch of Jesus would somehow bless their lives, give them maybe protection from evil and preservation of life. We don't think of it much because our children are usually healthy, but back in those days, infant mortality was high. It was estimated that half the children that were born in Palestine in those days died before they were 10 years old. So if you're a parent, you're already mindful that the little creatures that were entrusted into you, they themselves may not be a long entrustment, that they would maybe not had very many years to live. In fact, that was a reality. 6 out of 10 died before they were 16. Can you imagine that percentage if that was in our own congregations and homes? And so in a certain sense, when you would have this little one in your care for whatever period of time God himself was pleased to give that person to you, you yourself would invest in them. And they themselves were concerned. I'm sure that there was an urgency. It was not something trivial. It was not just some kind of little ritual. They themselves were looking in something for something that indeed that would somehow bless their children. They believed that contact with Jesus would be a good thing. Well, the reality is we know that contact with Jesus is a good thing. Now, Jesus doesn't come down into our neighborhoods anymore. In other words, we can't bring our children to Jesus. We must bring Jesus to our children through the Word of God. And if we love our children, if a church loves their children, then we ourselves will be interested in these little ones. As Micah said, well, they're infants or toddlers or little kids or little ones, whatever they are, it's hard to put them in a class. But listen, Jesus will minister to them. And our desire is that as parents, that ought to be our intention. That ought to be our goal. good parents themselves want to teach their children. They want to model Christ to their children. They want to bring them to Jesus, which that they themselves might know the greatest blessings of heaven. Don't neglect it, moms and dads. Let it be the priority to be able to set forth consistently and as faithfully as you can to plead with them and instruct them with regard to who Jesus is and what Jesus has come for and what he's able to do. And then as you begin to speak of the glories of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers, then live a life that manifests that, indeed the joy itself. Be those living examples as much as you can by God's grace. This is what loving and good parents do. They bring Jesus to their children. Well, point number two. We're moving along. All right. Some people don't think that Jesus is interested in children. Can you imagine that? Notice what happens. They were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But when, in fact, can you believe it? It's Jesus' own people that don't think Jesus is interested in children. Some people that he had noticed what it says. It says, but when the disciples saw that, they began rebuking them. They began, as they stopped the people, began scolding them and telling them, quit bothering Jesus. Stand back. Don't you know that he is on the way to Jerusalem? Don't you know that he has the weight of the world upon his shoulders? Don't you know the mighty things of the kingdom that he himself is concerned about? Mighty things are in store. He's got a lot on his mind and much to do. He must preach the kingdom of God and arrive in Jerusalem. He doesn't have time for nursery work. He doesn't have time to stop and take care and touch children. We don't know what they said. That's not in the Bible. Those are my words there. My paraphrase. And we aren't told what went through their minds. And I have a sense, and at least a charitable sense, that they were hoping, they were intending that they were charitable in that way. You look, Jesus is busy. You know, he's going to suffer from people fatigue if you just keep bringing your kids all the place wherever he is. You know, and they're in a certain sense wanting to protect the guardians like some celebrity, not wanting people to get near him. And indeed, the disciples themselves would really say anyway, look, listen, yes, there's legitimate issues to take care of, but this nameless, insignificant bunch, because the reality, that's how children were regarded in Palestine. They were nameless, faceless group. They were on the fringe. They were considered valuable as they got older and were able to enter into the workforce and support the family. That was the general perspective, as it were. They were privately attended to, they were cared for, but they were not like, say, nowadays they are, the focus of personal and family and social attention. Children were cared for, but again, it was a whole different thing. They were, as it were, in society, a fringe group. And so why would Jesus spend time with a fringe group right now, those who can contribute nothing and are nothing, when Jesus has many things to do? And so oftentimes that can happen in ministries, right? We can think that children, we've got better, bigger things to do. Sometimes preachers can think that. And sometimes the kids can think that. Well, you know, he's always talking, but I never understand what he says because it always goes over my head. And so I said, well, it may. I just hope it doesn't go over the parents' heads. And you can say, what did the pastor say? But again, to be mindful of the fact that the congregation is made, yes, of adults, big people, old people, and little people as well. Little people, you need to hear the word. Little people, you need to be saved. And so sometimes people do that. It's sad when people don't think that children need Jesus, but they do. And so did these disciples. Well, third point. Jesus welcomes children to come to him. Jesus welcomes children to come to him. Notice it says when the disciples saw it, they began to rebuke, but Jesus called for them. They were saying, shoo, shoo, shoo. Jesus says, come, come, come. In fact, then, as he's telling them, hey, come on back, continue to come, Jesus then begins to instruct his disciples themselves. You know, and he begins to tell them, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them. Don't stand in their way. Jesus doesn't want little ones. He doesn't want children. He doesn't want young people to be away from him. He wants young people and children to be able to come to him. That's what he wants. He is interested in them. He wants them to come that he might bless them. That's the glorious attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ in all the things that sometimes we, just in the midst of all the accounts we read of Jesus, how approachable he was. That how, whatever he was about, Jesus himself was willing to be approached. And in fact, that's what he loved. He loved those who came to him, who sought him out, who desired him. And as we've said before so many times, the problem is most people would mill around him, but so few would come to him for what he himself would be willing to give. And so here comes Jesus now saying, look, I'm not too busy to receive children. In fact, Mary Todd Lincoln, off the point, well, it's on the point, just an illustration. Mary Todd Lincoln was so frustrated with Abraham Lincoln, her husband. And the thing that frustrated her so much about her husband, Abraham Lincoln, was that he himself took so much time during the Civil War being willing to listen to whoever would come into his White House office. She says, well, sometimes the widow would come in, or the bereaved mother from a son that had died, or a slave would want to talk to him. Or whoever it was, a minor or something else, so many different kinds of occupations would come. And she says, Abe was always talking to them. He was always so accessible to everybody. It's probably the highest commendation ever made of a president. Because in a certain sense, he's like the Son of God. This Son who himself, yes, mighty and great things, but he himself is concerned and is willing to receive children. Do you know why he receives children? Because they need him as much as we need him, right? I mean, this is the reality. The reason is, in fact, he'll give another reason. In fact, probably but I'll get to that one. But here's all of us need Jesus, and our children need Jesus, because all of us, all of you children, are born in sin. Born apart from the living God. This is why we need him. We need him to save us from our sin. And we know what that sin is. Do you know what kids know what sin is? It's badness. And we're bad to the bone, the Bible says. We're born bad. And that badness begins to be reflected in our life. We show it. Kids show it when you stomp your foot when mom says something. Or when you get a big lower lip. When you begin to pout because you don't get what you want. Or maybe that time when you yourself yell at your sister, or even when nobody's looking, hit your brother. Or maybe when you lie, or maybe when you steal and take something you shouldn't have taken. Or when you just simply disobey mom and dad. Or when you complain and grumble. Are we getting this tonight? All of those things manifest, indeed, that we have a bad heart and we need a new heart. All of those things manifest what we are born with, and we need to be saved from our sin. And so the reason that Jesus would receive them is because they need a Savior just like us, that they, believing in him, might have their sins forgiven, and that they, even in those young ages, they themselves, when they perish or when they die, will not go to a real hell. Because that's the reality. Good parents speak to their children of heaven and hell. Amen. Good parents speak of the reality that coming to Jesus Christ is not just simply coming for a joyride. It's coming to give your life to him and to live for him. And that you need his life in you. And so this is important. And Jesus has come. The reason that Jesus wants children to come to him, as well as tax gatherers, as well as Pharisees, the reason he wants them to come to him is because he has come for the very purpose of saving them. And so this is what he desires. I'm glad you children, some of you go to Sunday school, toddler's church. But here's the thing that we really want you to do. We want you to go to Jesus. We want you to trust in Him, in truth, in reality.
Amen.
That you would love Him. You need Him. And you don't never have to be afraid of Jesus, that He won't receive you. None of us. If we go to Him, He will receive us. That's what He wants, to save our souls. He won't push us away. In fact, He promised in John chapter 6, all who come to Me, I won't cast out. Come to Him. Come to Him. Well, fourth, this might be the one reason Jesus gives. Well, this is the reason Jesus gives. I shouldn't say might, because we could ask that question. Let them come to Me. And Jesus gives him his answer. And he says this, you know, don't hinder them, for because the kingdom of God belongs to such as them. Isn't that the amazing thing? Isn't that the glorious aspect about the kingdom of God? That it belongs to, it includes children, little ones, unimportant ones, weak ones, helpless little ones. Aren't you glad that the kingdom of God itself takes such ones in? I mean, this is the blessing. The kingdom of God, in fact, takes tax gatherers in. The kingdom of God takes prostitutes in. The kingdom of God takes all of those whom we ourselves would never take in. The kingdom of God itself is willing to receive many, and the kingdom of God belongs to those who are needy. And it's almost like Jesus is saying, if you want to know the character and the nature of the congregation that inhabit the heaven itself, then go to the nurseries, and go to the Sunday schools, go to the playgrounds. Because the kingdom of God is not so great that it cannot take those themselves. Well, it is great. But it's not so above itself, nor is the mercy of God so above it that it will not embrace those themselves who are so small. The kingdom is not reserved for the high and mighty. It's not reserved for the rich and famous or the smart and noble. We know that. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has taken the base things that He might show, even the despised things. He takes really what Paul would say, the nothings, that He might set aside the somethings, that there would be boasting in God alone. This is the very character of the kingdom, that it includes these ones. Now, Jesus is not saying simply because someone is a child, he enters the kingdom of heaven and it belongs to them. But He is saying this: being a child does not prevent you from entering that kingdom, and indeed it's in place for you. Because that you must come to Him. You must trust in Him. You must bow to Him. You must acknowledge your own sin before Him and confess that sin and seek His pardon and mercy and forgiveness. Jesus will save you. Really, what Jesus is saying, that the kingdom of God does not have a sign on it that says adults only. In fact, the only sign that there was, and there's no sign, so all it is speculation, the only sign is sinners only. If there was such a sign. Little sinners, big sinners. Old sinners, young sinners. Religious sinners, filthy, rotten sinners. No, the only ones who come in are those themselves who come through Jesus Christ, knowing that they're sinners.
Amen.
One of our little hymns contains these sweet words: around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven. A holy, happy band. Heaven will be full of children, because that is the kingdom of God. It belongs to them. How did those little children get there to be that little holy and happy band? The little hymn goes on. On earth they sought the Savior's grace. They sought the Savior's grace. They sought the Savior, and they found Him. If the kingdom of God belongs to little people, then little people run. Run to that kingdom. Run and receive that mercy. For those who seek Me early will find Me, Jesus promises. Well, final observation. Sometimes I feel like this is more than a lecture than preaching, but here we go with the fifth observation. Children are a model for entering the kingdom. Usually we're told that adults are to be examples to children, but Jesus says in this case, children are an example to adults. Truly I say to you, now if the children are now are gathering around him in the midst of all of that and Jesus receiving them and blessing them and touching them, now he kind of lifts up his face as it were to the crowd around him and to all those who are milling around him, those who are interested in him, even his own disciples themselves. And he says, this is important. Listen to me. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all. That's the lesson. Listen, it belongs to them. And you need to enter that kingdom. And now the issue is, then how do I receive that kingdom? And he himself gives us the example. The example is children. Whoever receives it like a child. And we might say, I understand children, but how like a child? What is it like a child that I'm supposed to be? In fact, the question is, it can be taken several ways. Am I to receive the kingdom as a little child receives it, or am I to receive it as though a child? Because oftentimes, here's what happens, or at least, in fact, many times it's like this. Well, how are children an example to us? They're an example of innocence. No, they aren't. They're not innocent. They're an example of guileless. They're without guile. No, they aren't. Well, they're trusting. Well, in a certain sense, they're trusting, but in the sense of trusting or in the sense of demanding. What ends up taking place is we kind of get a little schmaltzy about this. Kind of a Jewish Yiddish term for sentimental. The Jewish society did not have sentimental contemporary views with regard to children. They didn't despise children, but they didn't have any all these romantic notions that they were the little cherubs in the world just flitting around. And that they were marked by special traits that we ourselves need to seek out that we might imitate. It's not the character of children that is to be imitated. It is the condition of children by which we are to receive the kingdom. Listen to David Garland, because I think he makes the good observation, and I hope I can clarify it. He writes this. He says, Jesus does not refer to some inherent quality in children, such as their imagined receptivity. We could call receptivity gullibility. But no, not for them. No. Receptivity, their humility. Are children humble? No. They're all about themselves. I'm saying this just simply because probably most of the commentaries you read with regard to what it's to do, to be like, to receive the kingdom as a child, is we begin to start getting these romantic notions of children. He says it's not some inherent quality, some assumed inherent quality in children. In fact, the other interesting thing is you spend all your time trying to figure out, okay, well, that guy says those two qualities, this guy says this quality. Everybody's trying to figure out which quality of a child were to be characterized by. And it has nothing to do with the quality and character of children. It's not anything meritorious in children. He says, so it does not refer to some inherent quality, and he lists them. Imagine receptivity, humility, trustfulness, lack of self-consciousness, really. Transparency, hopefulness, openness to the future, simplicity, freshness, excitement, and any other, he calls it idealized quality, that commentators often attribute to children. None of those attributes were associated with children in the first century culture. They never thought of children like that. As Jesus is speaking, the first thing that did not come into a Palestinian mind at that time was all these little precious things. And probably after spending a whole week with your children, maybe a day. You might say, I think Garland's right. No, it's not that we hate children. It's not that children are bad. Just children are children. But this is what is. This is what, it's not so much some supposed virtues, real or imagined, but it is this, what it means to receive the kingdom as a child. Receive a kingdom as a child in that condition in which they themselves are vulnerable, weak, helpless to do anything, helpless to contribute anything, helpless to get credit for anything, and they themselves are absolutely needy for anything that they themselves can receive, and they have nothing to offer. In other words, you receive the kingdom not by some supposed merit, but by that which children themselves always display, naked need and burdened cries. And that's the very character of it. They're models of helplessness and dependence, however they express that. And this is where it's going. We are to receive the kingdom. And when Jesus says receive the kingdom as a child, we're to receive it as lowly, needy, helpless, and wholly dependent on someone else to do what we cannot do and someone to give us what we do not possess. And this is the way that we are to come into the kingdom. We're not to come full of our baggage, our merit, or anything else, or full of some kind of claim, or even some kind of attribute per se. No, we're to come just simply in that self-humbling that Jesus spoke about in the previous parable. As a child, we come as a child. I don't understand all that I need to know. I come as a child. I come and I'm come needy for constant help and assistance as a child. I have nothing to bring, nothing to claim as a child. I must wholly look to another to awaken me, to carry me, to convict me, to convert me, and to carry me all the way to glory. Amen. That's how I come. I come as a child. And that's how we're to receive the kingdom. Jeff Thomas says it this way. We take up the child's place. We take his place. We must see ourselves as helpless, dependent, and as vulnerable as an infant in need of God to do for us what we cannot do ourselves. And it's interesting. It's interesting. And Mark has a similar account, and he refers to children, which can be those toddlers, or can be even up to 10 years age, up to 10 years age. But will you notice that Luke, as the story goes, speaks about babies. And babies really can do they can do a lot of things. But really, nothing for themselves. And this is how we come. Toplady wrote this, you know, Rock of Ages. Helpless look to thee for grace. That's what it means to receive the kingdom as a child. Helpless, I look to thee for grace. Naked, come to thee for dress. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That's the language of a child. We are to receive and believe upon Jesus Christ without reservation, realizing that we are helpless and needy nothings. Nothing to offer, nothing to claim, wholly depending on Him to give us what we really need. Forgiveness of sins, righteousness that is not of our own, a new life that leads to a new way, grace and strength and willingness to please Him. And in Him find my all and all. Like a child, we're to be empty of self-reliance and eagerly other-reliant. Like a child just learning to stand, we have to raise up our arms that Jesus, will you take me up? Lord, embrace me and carry me. Lord, take me up and lay hold of me as you have laid hold of me. Give me the grace to lay hold of you till you carry me to glory. The scriptures tells us as believers that we are to grow up into him who is the head, but we are never to grow out of our utter dependence and need of Jesus Christ. In one sense, we are always children. In one sense, we ourselves will always be helpless and needy all and every single day of our life. Make me, O Lord, a child again, so tender, frail, and small, in self-possessing nothing, in Thee possessing all. That's what's required. That's what it means to become a child, to receive the kingdom like a child. This is what Jesus wants. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus welcomes the little children, and he receives those themselves who come as such children to Him. May God give us the grace, big people, that we ourselves just don't stand on the outside either, that we ourselves don't stand puffed up in whatever background or education or whatever we ourselves might possess, and realize we really possess nothing where the kingdom of God is concerned. There is nothing we can offer, and that we must seek and look to Him for everything. We come to Him who is all in all. May God give us grace, and may God bless our children, and may we pray for our children. May we speak to our children. May we seek to be faithful as a congregation in the way in which we live our lives before our children, that they themselves might realize there's something way more precious than anything in this world that they will ever see, and it's the Lord Jesus Himself. Our Father in heaven, Father, we thank You that You are a great God. We thank You that Jesus is a great Savior. And we thank You that that great, holy, blessed Savior, as He walked on this planet, Lord, as His holy feet went from place to place, that His large heart and His compassionate eyes saw the needs and saw the needy. And that, Lord God, He took note of those whom those would consider of no account and those unnotables. And Lord God, that is indeed, Lord, what we all are. There is none of us mighty, none of us noble, none of us of great grandeur or strength. Oh, Father, we are all as weak as a child. Lord, we are all, in terms of what really matters, we are as helpless as an infant. And Lord God, we are as dependent upon You for life as the little baby at its mama's breast. Father, we cannot live a moment without You. And so, Lord God, may we come to You knowing that. May we, Lord, hang on You. Lord, seek You. Live off of You. Dependent on You. Recognizing our need. Recognizing our weakness. Recognizing Your fullness and Your strength. Lord God, grant that to us. We thank You for the kingdom. We thank You for the blessings, the full blessings of which we ourselves are wholly ignorant of in the largeness of them. We are like children born to a rich man. Lord, yet as infants not knowing the extent of His wealth. Oh, Father, even do we know so little of the riches of Christ. But, oh God, we have been born into these things. We have been promised an inheritance that will not fade away, kept in heaven for us. And so, God, may we as children, may we as those who are humble-hearted and, Lord, wholly reliant on You live. Lord, live so as to please You. Lord, thank You for the blessing. Thank You for the blessing of salvation. Thank You for the door which Jesus is to life. Thank You, Lord God, that He invites and welcomes those who would come as children. Oh, Father, will You show mercy to our own little ones, to our own sons and daughters? Lord God, will You bless them? Lord God, will You give them a desire to seek You, not stay out in the crowds, but to come out of the crowds and embrace and seek and love and believe and serve the Lamb of God? Thank You, God, for Your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.